Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
About to break forth in our midst. And not just when we're in this building, you have to have that same excitement as you're going throughout your day. See, God is not a Sunday, or if you're a Sabbath keeper, a Saturday only God. He is a daily God. He's daily speaking to us. He renews us daily. The Bible says his mercies are renewed how often? Every morning. So we have to anticipate that he wants to do just what he says he wants to do. And we talked about 1 John 5:14. If we ask anything according to his will, what happens? He hears us. Everybody say, he hears me. And if we know, everybody say, know, that he hears us, we know that he will give us the things that we've asked of him. That is not just faith, that is knowing. That's an assurance that what you ask for will happen. And so we left off talking about five things that we know that are the will of God. So we'll touch those real quickly. I know we touched on most of them, but I want to make sure we got all five. And then we'll get into the next section. So Father, we come to you with expectation that you're going to speak to us. Our ears are open, Lord. Our hearts are open. Our spirit man is wide open for you to do in us what you want to do. So Lord, speak to our hearts, generate in us, stir us up, as Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift of God in our hearts so that we have an anticipation of your greatness coming in our midst. In the name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. So the first will of God is that God wants everyone to be saved. And we said that was 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The reality is that everybody won't be saved, but God wants everybody to be saved. You might say, well, how come that part of the will of God is not going to be done? Because some people don't want to be saved. Even though they would if they understood it, but because they're hard-headed and stubborn, and let's qualify that, like we were, Don't think just because you're born again, you weren't stubborn or aren't stubborn at times now. Amen. But God will not overcome people's will to make them be saved. Amen. But that is a prayer that you have the assurance that if you pray it, he's going to hear you. The second thing, God wants us to be free from all the entanglements of sin. He doesn't want you entangled with the sins that had you bound prior to salvation. He doesn't want, you know, God, you know, this is not popular to say anymore, but God heals mental diseases just as he heals natural diseases. And a lot of the mental diseases, and I'm not a doctor. You guys know I am a doctor, but I'm a doctor in the law, not in the medicine. A lot of mental diseases come from usually sin encounters. I had a client that had an issue, and it was because of what happened to her in her childhood. And she, from that point on, had a mental issue. When God deals with the root cause, you can get the mental condition taken care of. Because most mental conditions are like a block. They're blocking out what happened so they don't have to deal with it. That's how you get the split personalities. Are you hearing me? because they've created your psyche has created a new person so that the old doesn't have to deal with what happened to them. Are you with me here? That's what happened. And God can heal that. Amen. Sometimes you have to go to counseling. Sometimes you have to deal with it. But when the light is shined on the source, he can break that chain. And that's just one thing. God can heal any entanglement that we've had. I don't care if it's a past bad love affair gone wrong, and we've all had that. A past bad family life. Some of us have had that. You name it, God can fix it. People played with the occult. You played with the occult. All that stuff God can fix. And he wants you to be free from those entanglements. That's his will. It is not his will that you walk around tied up by your past. Because he says, if any man is in Christ, what happens? He's a new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, what? All things have become new. And of course, that's the name, why we name our church that. There is nothing, everybody say nothing, that God cannot do. But we have to anticipate it. See, if you walk around thinking you're supposed to be like this, guess what? You don't think he's going to change you. And you're not even going to ask him to change you. You see how that works? But faith, when faith is stirred up, you get the idea that perhaps God wants to fix me. That's the seed. And then when you see in the word how he fixed so many people, then say, God does want to fix me. And that's the hope. And then you get to, I know God wants to fix me. And I believe that he will. Amen? Third thing he wants us to do is all he wants us all to be healed. And I don't know when. You read the book of Acts, and those guys were some powerful people. I mean, they said, the Bible says Peter, just the shadow of Peter, people were healed. They just walked in his shadow. They didn't even touch him. He didn't touch them. But his shadow, we get the idea of sending prayer cloths from Paul. Paul, they said, the Bible said he took aprons and sent it, and demons were cast out of people. Philip, who wasn't, and you know, a lot of people say, well, that was the 12. Well, Philip was not one of the 12, right? Philip was one of the seven deacons, as they call them. Philip and Stephen. We all know Stephen was the first martyr, but the Bible says Stephen was doing all sorts of signs, wonders, and miracles. Stephen. That's why they stoned him. Philip. They called him Philip the Evangelist. He was casting out devils. He was laying hands on the sick. So God wants to heal people, but there was a transition in the church that started to say stuff like, well, that was back then. That's not today. And there's nowhere in the scriptures that that's true. Because if they did it in the old covenant, how much more will they do it in the new, now that we're what? Filled with the Spirit. Shouldn't we have more power, not less? Amen. Amen? Come on, talk to me, y'all. The Holy Spirit has now come down, not to light upon us, but to live in us. And we have the access, and get this, and this is another anticipation point. We have access to the God of the universe living in us. So why is there anything impossible for us? Amen? Fourth thing we talked about was God wants us to love him, love the people in the body of Christ, and all the people that are around us, so that his glory might be seen in us. And I threw in the last time, I think we talked about just loving God and loving the people, but we also need to love the body. The church has got to get a vision of the body of Christ and stop all this sectarian division that we've created with the denominational world. Denominations, whether good, bad, or indifferent, really are not the issue. The issue is the Word of God. And if the Baptists follow the Word of God, they are your brothers. If the Church of Jesus Christ, whatever name they tag on, Church of God in Christ, Church of God, although if they follow the word, we are brothers in Christ. We cannot be united and also exclusive at the same time. The body is the body. And so, and as we get into the understanding of the body, I believe the church, the power of the church will grow. As we stop talking about, oh, that's a Baptist. Unfortunately, it's terrible, but some denominations won't talk to other denominations. We have splits going on now over the issue of whether a man and a woman constitute a marriage. And when that happens, that's biblical. So if they want to go that way, where they want to turn and try to change things, they've now left the body. Because the scriptures are the test as to whether or not you're in the body or not. Amen. And so anybody who rejects the truth of the scriptures, they've left, as Paul says, they've left the truth. So, but other than those, and then even still, if we have access to them, we should try to draw them back into the church. Amen? Just like when he kicked out the man that was having an adulterous relationship with his stepmother, which is a real bizarre thing. That's in 1 Corinthians. If you ask, where's that in the Bible? Now you want to find out, huh? It's in 1 Corinthians. But when he kicked him out, the second letter told him to bring him back in because he had repented. Amen? Did you guys catch that? The first letter he said, kick him out. The second letter he said, bring him back. Because the goal of kicking or correction is never to excommunicate him forever. It's to bring restoration. God disciplines to restore, just like you discipline to restore your children. You don't discipline your children and say, now get your bags and get out, to your four-year-old. Get your bag and get out. I told you not to do that. Get your bag and get out. No, you correct them so that they can listen to you in the future. Amen? Amen. That's what God is out to do. And I was talking to Sister Jean as we were coming. Either God will deal with you personally, he will try and correct you personally, and if you don't listen, he will correct you publicly. He will embarrass you. Amen? That's why we have all these disclosed adultery situations, because they wouldn't deal with it personally. That's why the church gets exposed like that. David, God told David, okay, since you secretly slept with that Bathsheba, I'm gonna expose you publicly. And that's what he did with Absalom. He committed adultery with David's wives on the rooftop of the temple of his palace as an exposure to David. But he still loved David, didn't he? He still restored David, didn't he? But David was trying to hide his sin. So we have to bring restoration, but we still have to remember we're the body. Everybody say, we're the body. And the body is not just in America. The body is all over the world. Amen? Next, we know that God wants to meet all of our needs. Say, he wants to meet all of my needs. None of us should ever have a need that's not met. I know that's a bold statement, but that's the truth. And I say this too, if you don't have enough faith to believe God can do that, then you need to tell somebody you have a need. Did you hear what I said? If you don't if you haven't gotten to the place where you can pray and believe God to meet that need, you need to come to somebody and say, brother, sister, I have a need. Could you help me? That's part of being the body. Amen? And we do a pretty good job here, but we can always do better. Don't sit at home with a need and worry when there's church people that can help you. All right? Everybody get me on this? I'm serious now, because that's part of being the body. That's part of meeting needs in the church. There will come a time where you will be able to pray and God will show you and you will meet. He will meet that need. I've been in both situations. But don't ever, excuse me, go without food, go without ability to transport yourself or anything because you're embarrassed. Because that's all it is, which is another word for pride. And the Bible says he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So remember, the church is here not just to preach and teach and lay hands on the sick, but also to help meet the needs of the body. Amen? I mean, we could go all over. That's what the NCCC's cares is all about, which we need to probably do either this month or next month. But the last point is God wants us to be conformed into his image and to be holy and separated from sin. Holy is just a Bible word for what? Righteous. Clean. Separated. Not separated in the sense that you're better than anybody. And see, this is where the monastic system, for those that don't know what the monastic system, the monasteries, that's where they missed it. Because they thought they'd have to go away from the people to be holy. That's why the monasteries were created, right? Get away and you don't have any, they've taken vows of poverty so they don't have to work. Well, they still have to have their needs met. So somebody's got to meet their needs. But you're supposed to be holy. And I think Peter says in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, we're supposed to be holy. But those are the six things, that wills that God wants us to do, or excuse me, assures us that if we pray, these are the will, this is his will for us. Amen? Amen. Now, I want to look at how Jesus prayed. So let's go to John chapter 11, 14, 40 through 44. Now, this is, of course, the story of Lazarus. And we know Jesus is, of course, the epitome of all that we're striving to get to. And none of us have gotten there yet. Although Jesus said we should get there. Amen. What did he say? Greater works shall what, who do? We do. Greater works shall we do because he's going to the Father. That's what I was talking about. The Holy Spirit is now in us. And we have the ability. Everybody say the ability. To do what Jesus did. Let's say it again. We have the ability to do what Jesus did. But there's the qualifier. Do you believe that? when you look at Jesus, I mean, Jesus is really unapproachable when it comes to holiness. He was the holiest man to ever live. But he's imputed to us his righteousness, his holiness, so that we could be like him. And everybody knows what impute means, right? It's another word for he gave it to you. When you took his blood and his death, his burial on the cross, he gave you his righteousness. So you're really not your own anymore. You're his. And that's why you're a new creation.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us
at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
Let's do a little background. So, of course, we all know Lazarus dies. Lazarus got sick. Jesus says he's sick, but we're not going yet. Then he says he's asleep. And then they say, well, if he's asleep, he'll be okay. But he said, well, he's dead, really. So I'm going to raise him up. And so Jesus goes, and we know the story. Marquise actually read this, I think it was last week, wasn't it? Where with Martha and Mary, they came and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And they both said the same thing. And finally, Jesus asked them, where is he? Where have you laid him? And that's where we're going to pick up the stories. And Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? So he's trying to get her into the position of anticipation. They're grieving, but Jesus is trying to get her mind off of the fact that he's dead and let her know that he's here to change the circumstances. Everybody say, Jesus comes to change circumstances. Say it like you mean it. Jesus comes to change circumstances. And what are we in? Circumstances. Everything in life is a circumstance. Amen? So Jesus is trying to get their minds off of the fact that he's dead and on the fact that he's here. He said, didn't I say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his voice, his eyes, and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, that's the only time we really see Jesus praying. Other than in the garden. Most of the time, this is what Jesus does. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Jesus commanded things. He didn't say, Lord, I pray that I beseech you by the power of your Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, come out of there. No, he just told them to come out. And he had to say, Lazarus, because all the other dead folks would have got up. And it wasn't that time yet. So Lazarus comes jumping out. Because he's tied up, right? He's wrapped up. And he says, loose him and let him go. When Jesus, and notice when he prays to the Father, he says to the Father, I thank you that you heard me. Not will hear me, but heard me. Past tense. And he says, because you always hear me. Why? Because he lives, 1 John 5:14 and 15. Which is, what is it? If you ask anything according to his will, what happens? He hears you. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is teaching us how this works. Because it's his will. It's the Father's will to do what he just did. So he wasn't scratching his head trying to figure out, does God heal? I don't know. I was in that class last week and I wasn't so sure about it when I left. Folks talk you out of the supernatural. Look, we don't understand miracles. Let's just be honest. I don't understand miracles. I don't even know how they happen. But I'm not going to not believe in them just because I don't understand them. I don't understand how a plane flies either. And I'm not up there trying to get to the pilot. Okay, can you please just explain to me how this works? Because I'm not going to get on this plane until I understand how this works. Nobody goes to a pilot and does that. And probably shouldn't go out to the pilot anyway. You need to go out to Boeing and ask them how the plane works as they put it together. How is it that a plane can leave the ground, fly for miles, and not crash? It's a mystery, but we fly and don't think twice about it. So we don't need to understand everything about God. We just have to believe that God is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. Don't get stuck on the process of miracles, but just believe in the finished work of them. Amen. We're so intellectual. I know some people say, I'm not intellectual. Every human being is intellectual. We're always trying to understand, figure out everything that we go through. Am I right? I guess ask the women this. Right, women? Women always want to figure stuff. Maybe that's their gift. I don't know. And it's not that men don't. Men do too. Don't get me wrong. I'm not. But sometimes women like the details. How is this going to be? But in the Bible, it was the other way around. When he went to Mary and says, you're going to conceive. She asked how. He says, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you. Okay, I got it. He went to John the Baptist's dad. And he didn't get it. He said, you kind of have to be quiet for 9 months. And then when it comes, then you'll understand how. But we need to stop trying to figure out how so much. I know when my mortgage fell behind a couple of times, the first time it happened, it's happened more than once. I hate to say, but it's happened. And the first time I was like figuring out, Lord, how am I going to pay this? That was my prayer. That was the wrong prayer. Yeah. And all the things that happened, you know, I could tell you the first time it happened. I'll tell you about the first time. I was graduating from college. I had a job. I lost it. So the last 6 or 7 months of my college career, I didn't work. Couldn't find a job. So when I graduated from college, I had to take the bar, and so the bar was in July, and I actually took another class in June during the bar, which wasn't very bright, but that's another story. And I took the bar in July, and I did not pass it the first time. So here I am, don't have a job, was hoping I would pass the bar, get a job. That didn't happen, and I'm steadily falling behind on my mortgage. I started to get the default notices, and I was embarrassed. That's why I know people can be embarrassed when you have a need, that we were behind. So I didn't want to tell anybody. And so we just kept getting behind. Now, the first house we bought on what's called a real estate contract. It was not a loan. It was the guy who owned the house sold us the house, and we were paying them monthly, okay? Huh? No, it wasn't leased to own. It was a sale, but it was just what's called a buyer finance, seller financed. So the seller was sending us these notices. Well, he had a lawyer in Virginia. The house we had bought was from a person who died, and the family member lived in Virginia. Yeah, but the lawyer was a he, but thank you. She lived in Virginia. So we were getting these notices, and I got a notice, default notice, and then I got another one. And I'm thinking, why am I getting two? So finally, I broke down. I think Anna's probably told you need to go ask somebody about this. Because, you know, after all, I just finished law school. I ought to be able to read a piece of paper, right? That's what I'm thinking to myself. But because I'm a novice, I don't really know, even though I can read, I don't know what it says, okay? So she finally said, why don't you just go ask? Did you tell me to go ask Skeeter? But anyway, I had a good lawyer friend. His name was Skeeter Ellis. He was a believer as well. So I took it to him. And I asked him, can you explain to me why I got two of these? And he looked at it, and you know, an experienced lawyer looked at it. Oh yeah, the first one they didn't do right. The second one, they're fixing what they didn't do. So you actually now have 6 more months before they're going to take the house. I said, okay, well, that's good news. And so in that time period, Annas's dad gave us some money, I think, right? Then the church we were going to, everybody say church, sure, that we just started going to, by the way, gave us some money. And then I also got a job. That's when I was working for Atlantic Street Center. And within that time I had, we were able to catch up. I hadn't learned the secret of praying. God, you said you would meet my need. Therefore, I'm going to stand on that promise. But people around us helped to meet that need. Are you with me here? I trusted God, but I hadn't gotten to the place where I knew that he would meet that need. But he did meet that need in a way that I did not expect him to. And I say that to say there's a point at which you learn, you believe and trust God, but you don't know the methodology. You don't know how he's going to do it. Don't concentrate on the methodology. Concentrate on trusting God. Amen? Because a lot of times God's going to send me a check in the mail. So you check the mail every day. And that's fine. He might do it. But he might just cause the mortgage people to say, you know what? We're just going to stop it. We're going to stop the foreclosure proceedings because, quite frankly, most of them have too much inventory. They don't know what to do with it anyway now, meaning that they don't want any more houses. So that's why they're more willing to work with you now than they used to. But you don't know how God is going to do it. And that's what I'm getting at. The method, don't get stuck on the methodology. Just trust God. Amen? And this is what Jesus was trying to get Martha and Mary to do. Trust me, even though I'm doing something that looks like it's not going to work in your eyes. And I'm going to unplug it here. I got some more points that I wanted to bring, but I've gone longer than I should. And we're going to be here a while. So, everybody knows today is Palm Sunday, as they say, right? Right? Everybody knows a week from. So Palm Sunday is the time where Jesus, what happened on Palm Sunday? Maybe I should ask that.
Hosanna.
Hosanna. Jesus, and actually this week, Passover is Saturday. Passover, which means literally we are almost on the right date for Palm Sunday. It would have been yesterday, a week before Jesus was crucified. And they said, Hosanna, and I was going to talk about this in the message, and they Hosanna means save now. And they said also, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, which is the Hebrew word is Baruch Haba Basham Adonai. And Jesus said later on, after he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which kills the prophets, he says, you will not see me again until you say, Baruch Hashem Adonai. Because they didn't all welcome him. Remember the Pharisees, when he got into town, says, rebuke your disciples. And that's when we hear, if they don't say, the rocks will cry out. That's where we got that passage, right? Because everybody didn't receive him as king. But the anticipation, and this is how it's connected to the message, the anticipation was that Jesus was coming to take the throne of David on Palm Sunday. But he was rejected. And therefore, it wasn't the second plan. The plan, he knew he was going to be rejected. It says that in Isaiah 53. So he ends up being crucified instead of accepted. Amen? But he says, you won't see me until you say, Baruch Haba Bashem Adonai. And I pray that every morning now. Blessed are you, Lord, who comes in the name of your Father. Because I'm anticipating the return of Jesus Christ. That's the great anticipation. So as we prepare for the resurrection, which we have already experienced since we are believers, let us remember what happened that led up to the time of his crucifixion and resurrection. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Baruch Haba Bashem Adonai. You've learned a Hebrew phrase today. Everybody knows Adonai. We say that in some of our songs, which means Lord. And the word Baruch or Barak is blessed. Blessed Haba is he. Basham is comes in the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you for stirring us up to anticipate not only what you've done, but what you are going to do. We take the limits off you, Lord. We stop pondering methodology, the hows and the whys and the wherefores, but we put our trust in you. You said that he that puts his trust in you will not be put to shame. So, Lord, help us to trust you with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, our minds, and our strength. And Lord, when the doubts come in, let us drive them out and trust you even more. Because the one man cried out, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And there is times when, Lord, we believe, but sometimes unbelief tries to creep in there. But help our unbelief. Change our unbelief to belief. So that we can believe the impossible. Because your word says that there's all things are possible to them that believe. So Lord, I pray for stirring. Continue to stir us. Continue to give us that anticipation that they had when Jesus rode the donkey down the middle of the streets of Jerusalem. And many thought, knew that he was the Messiah. And he was coming to take his throne. They anticipated that. But the plan was not there yet. He had to die and be buried and be raised from the dead. Then he would come back and take his throne. So as we meditate on the things of the resurrection, help us to keep that in mind that he is coming back. And let us anticipate his coming by living our lives in a way that's pleasing to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. If anybody needs prayer, we want to pray. We don't want to dismiss without opening the altar and believing God for your miracle, whatever that might be. We believe God is in the miracle working business. Not only in the business, he is a miracle working God. He's the God of miracles. So if you need God to touch you, come on up. Otherwise, we're going to be dismissed.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon. And we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.